Windows 365 announced for a future release, the FCC requiring contraband cell phones to be disabled. The Fitbit watch can double as home telemetry, and Florida wants to beam internet service over the Gulf to Cuba. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the podcast and this show, Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for scam awareness, blockchain science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 53. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday. We post all of our shows on thecomputerdoctorshow.com with bonus content. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions, and even complaints we can answer. Co-hosting today is David from the cast of the Unscrewed Theater.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me back.
All right. Today is actually also World Emoji Day. So since this is an audio show, we're going to have to find ways to implement emojis into our discussion today, if at all possible. So smiley face, thumbs
all right.
up.
Yeah, there we go. Laughing face and left foot for some reason.
Sure.
Sorry. Autocorrect.
We got to throw some tears and some hearts out there. We love you guys, everyone who is listening. The Computer Doctor Show is sponsored by Perfection Auto Works for all of your car's needs for over 30 years. We have a great show for you today, starting with what's happening in the tech news world this week. The FCC is requiring contraband cell phones to be disabled. And so where this is coming from, so inmates, people that that live in prison, by the way, they're able to get all kinds of stuff smuggled into they can get tools, weapons, all kinds of things. They find ways to get stuff into prisons.
Right. You put a nail file in every cake, right?
It's got to be something like that. So they're able to smuggle cell phones, mm-hmm. With services, and they're able to make phone calls and emails and go on Facebook, and sometimes there's, if they have enough followers, they can make a YouTube Live, Facebook Live content and broadcast it right out of their prison cell.
I feel like that would be a great way to get caught if you weren't supposed to have the phone.
You would think, but the idea is that these devices, they're getting in there, they're being used, okay? Just imagine what they could be being used for, okay?
All right.
Things that they were probably put into prison.
We put away the mob boss, and now he's running the entire organization on Twitter.
There you go. Okay. or other powerful people running things on Twitter, right?
Right.
But so what the FCC is trying to do, they're trying to I have these devices identified and have them disabled. So once a device is identified as being a contraband phone or contraband internet access device, the FCC is saying that the manufacturers and or the service providers have to find some way to have that phone disabled so that it cannot be turned back on. This was made clear through a white paper on the FCC's official website, making it a requirement for cell phone services to accomplish this. And they say it's a matter of public safety, too. So that can easily be a reason why. Hats off to the FCC for making that a requirement. Making it harder. Well, they might find another way.
They'll always find another way, but that doesn't mean that, mm-hmm. shouldn't make crime harder.
All right. So, David, what kind of watch do you have?
What kind of watch do I have? I have a G-Shock.
Okay. Mine is has no brand name. I got it off Amazon for like $15.
Okay.
I love it because it makes me look like a nerd. It's nice and big and bulky and things like that.
Oh, yeah,
That's kind of like what nerds wear.
I totally got a nerd watch. It's solar-powered, it's water-resistant, and it's got 15 different alarms, and it probably has features that I don't even know it does.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of people out there with a different type of watch, these Fitbit watches. Mm-hmm. They got the Apple Watch, okay? They have all kinds of things, right? So, what's happening now is these watches have the ability to read your pulse. They can read your breaths. They can monitor your sleep patterns, all kinds of things. But whatever happens to that information, here's what's happening. The KOLD News 13 reported just a few days ago that doctors are saying that the technology is here for them to do at home monitoring, things that you would normally have to do at a doctor's visit, you know, at the hospital.
Right.
Okay, when you get admitted into a hospital, they put these pasties on you to monitor your heart rhythm, monitor your breaths and things like that. But your watch can do that. That's the exact thing. They say that the technology is here, but the problem is the ability to share data across and to connect all of the systems. So, for example, there could be perhaps maybe an app that could be like a sharing system that you can load onto your watch or load onto whatever telemetry grabbing instrument that you have at the house and just have that shared with your doctor.
Oh, that's fantastic. So all these people need to do is build a framework that's secure and HIPAA compliant to send all of your health information to your doctor who then can use it to better diagnose
you. But that's the funny thing about it because, you know, we sign off all of our privacy things. Like if we download an app, the app wants to know, you know, who our contacts are, you know, where we are, you know, you know, what websites we go to. We have no problem sharing that away.
But right.
The moment the... Ooh, I just spilled my water. Oh, boy. But the moment we want to... share our heart rhythms and medical information. Oh, no, we can't do that. It's HIPAA compliant, you know, all this other stuff. So it's kind of like one of those things that we have to find a way around. But the bottom line is the technology is there. The technology is definitely there. So it can be done.
Right. There's a bunch of apps and things like that that are HIPAA compliant. So I don't see why they can't build another framework that does it, but does it safely?
It might be. You know, we might be living in like the Star Trek era when we have like our own bed, and then we attach our own things. Thank you so much for these for this paper towel here. Clean up my mess. So, also in tech news this week, the state of Florida, wants to help the country of Cuba. So, as many of you may know, Cuba has internet restrictions on lots of websites. Okay.
Right.
So, what they're trying to do, so the idea is, now this is also on the FCC official website. So, without turning this into a political discussion, the regime of Cuba is shutting down different internet connections that allow Cuban people to shine lights on different tactics that the country is using.
Right.
So they don't want this information to get out per se. So they're blocking certain connections out of the country. So this is under the subject of censorship in Cuba. So many sites are being blocked. It's even estimated that Cuba is the fifth highest score of about the 65 countries that are ranked as to how censored their country is.
Gotcha.
There's about five countries that are on this list, and this list is above Cuba, China, Iran, Syria, and Ethiopia. And I was actually surprised I didn't see North Korea on there, but the level.
Sorry, that is very surprising. Yes, you think they'd be number one.
Yeah, but you know the level of the censorship and how much a country blocks of internet traffic
right.
has become a big problem, especially in some of these countries where the people want what's called this freedom of internet.
Right. We all want freedom of information.
Freedom of information. So the question is it technically possible for an American business to even operate in Cuba? So the answer is no.
Right.
But what Florida is trying to do is they're trying to arrange to beam internet Ooh. From some southern area, maybe Key West, because Key West is like the southernmost area of...
Right.
So I actually took a measurement. It's 105, 106 miles across waters from Key West to, say, Havana, Cuba.
So they're going to try and set up a big point-to-point
internet? Exactly. It's a point-to-point system using dishes to try to circumvent the blockades of the internet that the government of Cuba is trying
right.
to make.
So I'm guessing that's the kind of thing a VPN can't get around.
A VPN could... But then I think they have some other backup blocking system to even
right. There's block. Probably stuff you can't even reach there, even if you were hiding your identity.
I think that is correct. So, but this beaming, it could also be all locked off. It could just be just their own
right.
Kind
this
of,
the internet service providers
it's not
won't even let you get to the websites.
Yes, exactly. And that would be something that they would have to abide by in order to even sell internet in that country.
That makes sense.
So point-to-point bridge might be the solution from Key West to Havana. Well, who knows? That might happen.
Or from it's either that or you get a really long cable and you just dunk it in the ocean.
Sure. Now, we're going to take a little break here. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, we're going to be talking about some science and tech anniversaries, Windows 365, how it's different from Windows 11. Next.
And they're off and running, pedal to the metal madness.
My gosh, the drivers in Tucson are insane. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, look at that, a near collision. Number 21 just missed the lead driver. Oh no, I saw that coming, a pileup on the first lap.
It's insanity, I tell you.
Those cars are out of commission. Look at number 17, there's smoke coming out of the engine.
Look at the flames underneath that vehicle.
Well, he knows what to do. He's pulling into Perfection Auto Works pit stop. Look at those mechanics go like ants on honey.
This is incredible. Look, he's getting back in the race.
What was that, 7.6 seconds? That's perfection.
When you're involved in the fast-paced race of life and you know you're in need of a pit stop, pull into Perfection Auto Works. Our expert crew and free 26-point inspection will get you back on the road fast and furiously. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, blockchain science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with David here, hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Before we get into the next segments, what can you tell us, David, about the Unscrewed Theater?
Oh, man, do we have announcements right now. Okay, well, just tonight we're having our live stream show, which is going to be our From the Top, our improvised Broadway group. So you will see a full musical performed tonight if you tune into the live stream.
Mm.
even more exciting, August 6th and 7th is our grand reopening weekend, where we will be having live audiences. The theater is open.
Theaters regular open shows.
Actually, these are going to be bigger size shows for the opening weekend, where we're going to have all of our house teams represented. So come be in the audience, see the shows live and in person at our location on Speedway in Swan.
And if you want to meet the computer doctor, you can. I'm going to make a real effort to be there on the 6th.
Fantastic.
How's that? You can come meet me, meet the cast of the Unscrewed Theater. We'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, all it's right. going to be super fun.
Here are some tech and science anniversaries that were happening this week, just yesterday and today, July 16th. Okay, well, let me ask you this question first, David. What do you think came first, the first parking meter or the first air conditioner? Which one was first, do you think?
I'm going to say the air conditioning has been a technology that's existed in various formats for probably thousands of years now. So I'm going to say that.
So I'm going to say the modern air conditioner. I'm going to go back a little bit. So we're going to say July 16th, the first parking meter in 1935. The very first parking meter was installed in Oklahoma City 86 years ago.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so you could, because they didn't want, you know, the other guy's Model T to keep taking that spot.
or tying up the curb. But it was actually something to generate revenue for cities. Yeah. But it's 86 years of paying the tolls.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Also, July 16th, 2006, just 15 years ago, Twitter was launched. We were talking about Twitter and our emojis. So thumbs up. To the Twitter universe.
Absolutely.
And 15 years with Twitter.
And the weird bird emoji that they use.
Bird emoji, yep. Yeah. And smiley face and thumbs up to all those people that are still using Twitter. I use Twitter practically every day. That's where I get a lot of my news feeds and I'm subscribed to a lot of tech news things. So that is also very, very helpful.
I joined Twitter just to follow Weird Al Yankovic's page. but I use it for a few more things.
Do you use his weirdness as part of your repertoire of the show?
He is a great inspiration to me. What can I say?
Also, July 17th, 1902, that was 119 years ago, the first modern air conditioner was released. Okay,
cool.
So
literally.
And it is cool. Is there an emoji for...
There's like, probably a wind emoji.
Emoji. There
but,
we go.
But here in Tucson, we need the swamp cooler emoji too.
As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the invention of the air conditioner, Phoenix and Tucson would not prosper at all.
We'd have left a long time ago.
it was back in the 1900s when the modern air conditioner was introduced. That's when more people started moving out to more hotter areas where they can actually bear it. Prior to that, American Indians, they had their, if you do some research of how they did, like you were saying, early day cooling, there's a way to cool walls using pebbles and water.
Yes, it's early evaporative cooling, we still use the modern form. That's what the swamp cooler
is. It's funny, other states do not use evaporative coolers here.
Right.
When I first moved here 10 years ago, I was like, what are those big box things on top of all these houses? And then I come to find out they were evaporative coolers. Most other states don't use it. Only very, very dry climates like Tucson are able to
They don't work at all when it's humid. It's miserable to have one of those.
All right. Time's going crazy with these emojis here.
Oh, boy.
All right. But so that is all for the science anniversary. Of course, today is World Emoji Day, July 17th. And I now want to go into this announcement from Microsoft. So we have this thing. It's with Windows 365. Now, they announced on Wednesday that they're releasing this new operating system called Windows 365. Not to be confused with Office 365. This is Windows 365. So Windows 365 is an operating system. Now, this may bring to mind, well, didn't Microsoft just announce Windows 11 just a few weeks ago?
They did.
They did, but that is the local version, local version of Windows. Now they're introducing Windows 365, which is the cloud It is a cloud operating system. So here's the way it works. Now, by the way, this cloud computing and cloud desktop is nothing new. We were talking about this before the show, because if you were to remote into another computer, that is a form of cloud computing, where you're actually, your screen looks like a desktop and you're able to open up programs and run services and, you know, do things like you would on a normal computer. But the computer that you're working on is not in front of you. The computer that you're working on is actually someplace else on a computer.
A lot of us who work from home do that every day.
But you don't realize it. Okay. So there's virtual machines, you know, that are out there. Okay. And so what Windows is doing is they're kind of reinventing the wheel a little bit. So we have the old RDP systems, the VDI systems, and they're calling this new kind of setup a cloud PC.
Yeah.
So it's cloud PC, and it's going to be the wave of the future computing, especially for people that are in enterprise level businesses and also business level computing. This is not going to be something for, say, people that are just fooling around online, answering emails, you know.
Right.
You know, your average everyday personal kind of use is still going to be reserved for Windows 11, but the organizational level, enterprise level things, they're not going to be pushed into this Windows 365 environment.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of cool. Now, we were talking about some of the pros and cons. One of the biggest pros, okay, is speed. So I'm going to give you that emoji of, okay, that speed of that you can get. Now, here's how you can get these amazing speeds on amazing machines, even if the machine that you're working on, let's say that you're working on a low-grade laptop.
Yeah.
Let's say that your laptop is maybe 5 or 10 years old, right?
Right.
Doesn't have really good specs. But let's say that you have a decent internet connection, say like a DSL.
Right.
Okay, maybe a DSL, maybe 10 megabit speed.
Nothing too fast.
With that computer, you can connect to another computer that is inside, that is housed inside of, say, like a data center. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can set that computer in such a way that you can have something like 128 gigabytes of RAM, not storage, RAM of 128. Okay. Maybe 10 gigs of storage. Okay. And you can have a speed of something like 3 gigabit speed download or 1 gigabit upload speed. And you can be on there experiencing all of the benefits of having a super massively fast computer, even though you're physically on a really, really old, broken down computer.
I got to wipe off a little drool there just hearing about those speeds there. But,
well, is there an emoji for that?
Yeah, probably. So
I actually had the pleasure of doing this. So there's actually several. I did this with a virtual system before, and I actually did. By the way, these services can be very, very expensive. Probably in excess of $100, $200, sometimes $300 a month, just to keep these services up, especially like the really, really beefy ones. There are some cheaper ones, but they're not, they don't really level up to what it all kind of goes up to. And I can remember going on to a YouTube video, and I was able to move the video player in like so many different ways. I was able just to juggle it around, and it would just immediately just start playing exactly to where I did it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Come to think of it, this actually isn't a new idea. There was a gaming service that put this out. I think it was Google's Stadia or something, but it essentially let you use a cloud gaming PC, because we all know getting a video card right now is impossible.
Wow. We do have to wrap up. Thanks, David. We just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, for sending out smiley faces and thumbs up to all of you out there listening. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert, co-hosting today David and Tom Frambanks at the control board. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you.
To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.